This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Taxes have become a very heated topic in this election season. President Donald Trump wants to continue the tax cuts that he provided for during his presidency. In fact, he wants to increase some there. Vice President Kamala Harris this week rolled out some of her proposal and wanting to put in place nearly $5 trillion in tax increases over a decade. What does all of this mean? Howard Gleckman, senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center, joins us. Howard, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you.
Obviously, we know we're in the election season because there's a lot of chatter about taxes. It's all over the map. If you would, let's start with the vice president in this most recent rollout of a $5 trillion tax plan. It adopts a lot of what President Biden has provided for in his 2025 budget.
That's right. So let's step back a little bit. So next year, at the end of 2025, the big 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that, as you mentioned, Trump managed, is going to expire. And it's going to cost something like $4 trillion to extend it. So one of the questions that people can have for both candidates is, so how are you going to pay for that $4 trillion? Where's it going to come from? So that's where Harris's $5 trillion in tax increases comes in. She says, I generally support the idea of cutting taxes, or at least not raising taxes, for people making less than $400,000 a year. That was Biden's proposal, too. And the way I would move things around is I would raise taxes on very high-income people and corporations and lower them or keep them the same for everybody else. Trump, on the other hand, hasn't really said anything about how he would pay for extending the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And instead, he spent a lot of time on the campaign so far talking about additional tax cuts that he favors. So yesterday, for example, he talked about cutting the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15%. He's talked about a number of other changes. J.D. Vance has talked about a child credit of $5,000. So lots of ideas, but one of the questions, I think, for Trump is how you can pay for it. One of the questions for Harris is, so what are you actually going to do for people making less than $400,000?
So let's talk about corporate taxes for a second. What is the impact when you raise corporate taxes? Many economists say corporations, in the end, don't really pay taxes. They are going to pass that on to the shareholders as well as consumers. True or not?
That's right. They pass them on mostly to shareholders and to workers. Because if you're working for a company that pays higher taxes, it means the company's profits, after-tax profits, are lower, and they have less money to pay you. It also means they have less money for their shareholders. So that's right. When you raise taxes on corporations, the corporations have fewer profits, and it slows the economy.
So what happens, is there a relationship there to inflation?
So this is kind of an interesting paradox. So both candidates, both Harris and Trump, say they want to fight inflation. But in fact, when you cut taxes, you put more money on people's pockets. They're more likely to spend the money and actually increase inflation. So if you want to do something about inflation in terms of using government policy, generally what you have to do is two things that everybody hates, which is cut spending and raise taxes. Trump makes dealing with inflation a big deal, but he also wants to cut taxes for everybody, which is going to make inflation worse.
So on the flip side, Vice President Harris talks about the increase of corporate taxes, and we just talked about the impact of that. Former President Donald Trump talks about the increase in tariffs. Now, the Biden administration has kept a lot of the Trump tariffs in place, and in fact is actually, if my memory serves me correct, as it relates to China, has actually increased some of those. What impact does a tariff have?
So I will, full disclosure here, I think tariffs are terrible ideas. They're politically very popular, especially tariffs against Chinese products, but they're awful ideas. First thing to know is when former President Trump talks about China paying the tariffs, he's wrong. China doesn't pay the tariffs. American consumers pay the tariffs. Because what happens is the companies that import goods have to raise their prices to pay the import tax. So the effect of tariffs on the economy is that it slows the economy. It raises prices. It reduces corporate profits. It generally makes things worse. The difference between what Trump is proposing and what Biden has done is really one of scale. Biden has proposed limited tariffs on certain Chinese goods, for example, electric vehicles. The interesting thing about that is there are no Chinese electric vehicles being sold in the United States. So Biden is imposing a tariff on a product that doesn't actually exist. on the other hand, you know, when you look at what Trump is proposing, they're much bigger. He's proposing not only tariffs on China, but tariffs on the world. So every product imported from any country in the world would be subject to a tariff. Sometimes he says that tariff is 10%. Sometimes he says it's 20%. But it's a big number. It's a tariff that would be unprecedented in modern history.
The theory is that it would encourage and stimulate business organizations to produce products here domestically in the United States. Has that ever been proven out to work before?
It doesn't work. It sounds good. This is what politicians say. It's what Biden says about China, that if we impose these tariffs on China, you know, we'll give American industry an opportunity to get ahead of the curve. The reality is, you think about what are most of the products that are imported from elsewhere in the world. And just to take a couple of examples, say T-shirts. So, you know, the T-shirts that we all buy come from places like Indonesia and Vietnam. If we put a 10% tariff on a T-shirt, first of all, it means that a $10 T-shirt is going to cost $11. It's probably not going to discourage people from buying those T-shirts. The other problem is that, you know, there's no possibility in the modern world that American T-shirt companies are going to come back into business and employ American workers. Labor costs in the United States are just so much higher than they are in, say, Vietnam, that there's no way our T-shirts could ever be competitive. So all that happens is it's going to raise the price for American consumers and accomplish nothing in terms of creating jobs. And we've got evidence of that. There have been tariffs imposed. You know, during President Obama's term, he imposed tariffs on some foreign steel and aluminum, and it didn't do anything to increase jobs in the United States. There were tariffs imposed on tires. Same idea. Didn't do anything to create jobs. All it did was raise prices. So the evidence is pretty strong. I mean, people have known about the flaws of tariffs for hundreds of years. And the evidence is strong. They don't work. They don't create jobs. All they do is they raise prices for consumers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's talk about personal income taxes now. I love Thomas Sowell's quote where he says, "I have never understood why it is greed to want to keep the money you have earned, but not greed to want to take somebody else's money." I don't know. I'm always tickled by that. You know, it's yeah. Some people seem to be very mystified by that statement. But so we want to raise personal income taxes according to the Biden plan, and I think Harris has embraced this, from roughly 37% to 39.6% for the highest wage earners over $400,000. What does that actually do?
So first, let's look at that $400,000 number. Somewhere between 95 and 98% of American households make less than $400,000 a year. So what we're talking about here is whether or not we want to raise taxes on somewhere between 2% and 5% of American households. So it's not very many people. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't know a lot of people who are making more than $400,000 a year. So if she can keep this promise, and frankly, I don't think she can. I don't think Biden could. I don't think Harris can. I think inevitably, whatever tax proposals they have are going to raise taxes on some people making $400,000 or less. But most people making $400,000 or less won't pay more in taxes. But yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, if you raise taxes, even on a limited number of high-income people, they're going to have less money to spend and to save, and that's going to have some impact on the overall economy. Absolutely. And a lot of what we do with taxes is transferring money from, you know, taxpayers to people who need support. But the other thing to keep in mind is a lot of those people are us. So, for example, Medicare or Social Security. You know, Social Security isn't paying for itself. We're using general revenues to help pay for Social Security. That's tax dollars. So what would you do instead? Would you cut Social Security benefits so that people don't have to pay higher taxes? You can do it. That's a choice. But I'm not sure that's a choice that most people want to make.
Well, one of the other taxes that Vice President Harris proposes to increase, and as well as President Biden, was the Medicare tax, going up from, right, I don't know, 3-point-something% to roughly 5%. So your effective yield now is at 44.6%, if my memory math serves me correct. And you hadn't even taken into consideration state and your state income taxes in Louisiana. For the first I think it's $160,000, you're paying about 3.15. So now you're approaching 47-48% of your income that you're giving away to taxes. And then there's a concurrent tax. I forgot what is it called, TII. You familiar with that other tax that they're talking mm-hmm. about raising? Is that what it's called? TII? Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So
Harris has got a couple of proposals having to do with capital gains, and it's complicated. But the first thing to know is most of the tax increases she's talking about on capital gains are for very high income people. The first thing she's proposing, that you were mentioning, what Biden was going to do, he was going to raise the ordinary income tax rate, as you said, from 37% to 39.6%. Then what he was going to do was say, we're going to tax capital gains at ordinary income rates. Then there's this net investment income tax, which has been 3.8%. He wants to raise that to 5%. That's also for high-income people. So that's where you get the 44%, more or less. But that's only for people making $1 million or more a year. Harris has said she's going to raise the capital gains rate from 20% to 28%, so lower than Biden, but more than it is now. But same thing, that's only for people making $1 million a year or more. So not everybody, in fact, not even a lot of people, but for some people, it would pay significantly more in capital gains taxes. What's she going to do about that net investment income tax? She hasn't said. Biden has said he's going to raise it from 3.8% to 5%. Harris has not said what she's going to do. She's certainly not going to lower it. I suspect she's going to keep it at 3.8, but she may raise it.
But those at the 400,000 plus, it still would be 39.6, right? And the 5% Medicare tax.
Well, again, we don't know what she's going to do with the Medicare tax. And it's really not a Medicare tax. The money doesn't go to Medicare. It just goes into the general fund. Everybody calls it a Medicare tax,
right,
but it isn't. But that's right. For people making more than 400,000.
Which is a famous Washington practice. We call things a lot of things that they actually aren't, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's what keeps people here going, is misnaming things and making people. It's like the shell game. You know, you just move the P around and people can't follow what you're talking about. But, yeah, that was never a tax for Medicare. It's just a tax. But, yeah, it would apply to people. But, again, to people making $1 million or more, the net investment income tax is people making a couple of $100,000 or more. But she says she's not going to raise their taxes. We'll see how that goes. The other tax, the raising the corporate, the capital gains rate, would apply to people making $1 million or more. And the other thing she wants to do with capital gains is Biden has proposed this, and she has now adopted it, which is the idea of a 25% minimum tax for certain very, very high wealth taxpayers. And with that, what she would do is she would require, this is probably the most controversial thing she's proposed, she would say that she's not only going to tax profits on the sale of stock that you sell, she's going to tax the increase in the value of stock even if you don't sell it. And that's called taxing unrealized capital gains in the jargon. Trump yesterday said nobody knows what that means. He's probably right. Nobody does know what that means. But essentially what it means is you would pay tax on increase in value of stock that you own, even if you don't sell the stock. But the important thing to know about that is that only would apply to people with assets of $100 million or more. That's almost nobody. The best numbers I've been able to find is there's 345 million people in the United States. 10,000 of them have assets of $100 million or more. So, you know, 10,000 of your closest friends would pay significantly more in taxes on their assets. It's really a wealth tax. It's another way to call it a wealth tax. There are real problems with it. We can talk about those. There are administrative problems. There are problems calculating what increase in value is. But it would apply to no more than 10 or 11,000 people in the country.
If you're taxed on the increase, that doesn't necessarily mean you would have a write-off on the loss, would it?
No, you would.
If there's an unrealized gain, you can have an unrealized loss as well.
That's right. And they haven't said how they're going to deal with it. They're going to have to figure out a way to deal with it. Because you can't just tax people on their gains and not allow them to take some tax reflection of their loss. So they're going to have to figure that out. That's one of the problems. The other thing that they said, which is, you know, every proposal, and there have been a number of them over the years, every proposal that's done this, has said, you know, you can't make this apply to, for example, a closely held business. It'll just never work. So essentially, it really only applies to publicly traded stocks and bonds, to things you can easily value. If you have, you know, a business that you started, what's it really worth? The IRS is going to say, well, the value of your business went from, you know, zero because you started it from nothing to $1 million, and you're going to have to pay tax on it. You're going to go out and hire somebody who's going to say, you know, I appraised the business, it's not worth $1 million. It's only worth $50,000, and then you're going to get into a big fight with the IRS. It's going to go on forever. That's just, it's not realistic. So the proposals that have come along before have said closely held businesses would be excluded from this. You know, certain collectibles and art would be excluded from this for the same reason. You can't really value it. So essentially, it would be limited to stocks and bonds and other things that are publicly traded that are easily valued.
And the chilling effect on the market would be?
You know, probably some, but probably not a lot. Because frankly, you know, even if this became law, and I don't think it will, what's going to happen is the very, very, very rich people who would be subject to this tax are going to go out and hire some tax lawyers and some accountants who are going to figure out some way for them to avoid the tax. I can promise
that's
you that's
the thing.
What's going to happen.
That's what I'm always amused by, Howard, is that I think you're so right on because they're nimble. They can do all sorts of things. Yeah, they can move their corporate headquarters. They can go here. They can go there. You know, it's why we ended up trying to repatriate a whole bunch of money many years ago because everybody's sitting over there in Ireland because of the favorable tax treatment there. Now we're trying to figure out a solution to that problem, because we've recognized that no matter what we do, they're going to figure out a way to get around it. Because they have the same desire you and I and everyone else has, going back to Thomas Sowell's statement, we want to hold on to our money.
absolutely. And they have a bigger desire because they got a lot more money to hold on to than we do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's right. So, you know,
a lot more
Benjamins. All of these wealth tax ideas, you know, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and Biden and now Harris, they've got all these ideas. We're going to tax people's wealth. It's really hard to do. And remember, you know, we don't really tax wealth in this country. We tax income. That's not the same thing, right? And it's relatively easy to measure income. It's really hard to measure wealth.
And in the end, you know, I have a suspicion that $400,000 number, they're not going to be able to hold on to that because the impact, as you just pointed out, is not that significant. And I think there's going to be pressure to do something different. And the folks that are in the worst case scenario of all of this is your standard W-2 employee, right? Because they've got nothing, literally almost nothing to write off, as opposed to small business owners or others, that there's a whole lot of business expense that they can deal with and be a little bit more creative and innovative in the way that they manage their tax load or tax burden.
No, that's right. And, you know, one of the things you can do if you're an investor is you can use timing. You know, you can you can take a gain next year instead of this year, or you can find losses you can use to offset your gains. There's lots of ways you can avoid or at least reduce paying taxes. Like you said, if you're a wage earner, you get your W-2. You can't go to your boss and say, "Hey, pay me next year instead of this year."
Yeah,
you know,
it is what it is, and it ain't going to change.
It ain't going to change. That's exactly right. So yeah, if somebody like me, probably somebody like you, you know, you get paid every 2 weeks. There's kind of no way that you can avoid this. You're going to pay the tax. Now, I don't think that Harris is going to get away with flip-flopping on this $400,000 thing. This is pretty well locked in. It's going to be really hard for her, even if the Democrats have a majority in Congress, to raise taxes on people making less than $400,000. You know, and that's going to limit the amount of money she's going to raise, and that's going to do something about the, you know, make the deficit worse. So it's just all these trade-offs. It's going to be really, really
hard. Howard, I got to get to a break, and I apologize. We've run out of time, but I do want to have you back on because I want to spend some time talking about debt reduction because no one's talking about debt reduction, right? And it seems to me that that's as important an issue as almost anything else that we've discussed today as to the future of this country. And we really appreciate the time and your and insight with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good to talk to you. Take care.
All right. That's Howard Gluckman, Senior Fellow at the Tax Policy Center. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.